in Mexico. Woo. Yes, yes, yes. He did a service yesterday, a graduation service, and he said those people are hungry. Hungry, hungry, hungry. And so we could stir ourselves up some on that hunger. You know, if you don't ever get something, you know, what's your favorite food? All right, we're not starting out that way today now. All right, what's your favorite food? Yeah, there you go. There, whatever it is. Yeah, that's your favorite food. What if you never got it? What if you were on some desert island and you never got it? Would you get hungry for it? You'd get very hungry for it. Well, if you never got the word and you'd never be able to talk to the Lord and you could never pray, you'd get hungry to be able to do it. You know? So we should be able to do it on a regular basis so we don't get hungry for it. Glory to God. Because I like to have certain foods a lot. Tell by looking at me. Glory to God. So today I have a title that I think you'll like. Your own faith testimony.
All right.
You know, I get up here week after week after week, and I read testimonies. And some of them are really, really good. Some of them are people healed of cancer. Some of them are people receiving their homes. Some of them are people receiving healing from stage 4 cancer. Some of them are people receiving healings of all sorts of things. Some of them are people receiving cars and having babies. We saw a baby today. But then you look across the crowd and you can just sense it. You can just sense that there's people, and I just felt it go, yeah. You can just feel it when you say that already. Well, that's not my testimony. I don't ever get to write a testimony like that. I hadn't got a new car. I'm still fighting this stuff in my body. I hadn't got a new house. I've been believing for a house for 45 years. Just the other day, we had Celebration Sunday, and I had a lady come up to me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, you know, I've been believing for a pair of diamond earrings, just little quarter carat diamond earrings for 45 years. And my husband said he wasn't going to buy them for me. I told him he didn't have to buy them. The Lord would give them to me. And just the other day, somebody gave me a pair.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's great. But you shouldn't have to believe for 45 years for something like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we truly, truly, truly believe that the Lord is a good God and He wants us to have good things, what's the hold up on some of these things? What's the hold up? Why are some people being held up on receiving some of the things that they're believing for? How many of you want to have your own good testimony?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Robert, can you stand up this morning?
All right.
I didn't know he was going to be here this morning, but I looked across the way and I saw him standing here. How many of you know the testimony of Mr. Robert in here this morning?
Oh, yes.
Some of you do not know, but how long ago was it?
January
27th. He was at Daytona and got hit by a vehicle, and they did not expect him to live at all.
That's right. Yep.
They did not expect him to live. We got the call, and they did not expect him to live. Said he wouldn't walk, said, told us all kind of lies. Lies, 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 lies. And his body wasn't functioning, just all kind of stuff. And he's here today, walking, healed, getting stronger all the time, in his right mind. Yes, 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 yes. Because the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. And we can have more and more and more and more and more and more of these because the Lord is faithful. But you know, when I thought about this and I thought about what the Lord wanted me to talk about, I kept trying to go a bunch of different directions with it, you know, the Lord kept bringing me back to some things. And every time I'd try to get away from it, He'd bring me back to some things. And back to us, you know. And He said, how did you guys get the testimonies that you've got? You've all heard the stories about the wonderful, you know, Marriott mobile home that we had and the things that we have now. And I'd like to say, again, I've said these things before, it's because we're so sweet and we're so good looking and all these other things, but it's not. Now, I like gumbo. Now, I know everybody in here doesn't like gumbo. How many of you like gumbo? That's a big majority of the crowd. But I can just see Dave going. But Dave likes soup. He likes, I make what I call a lunchroom soup. And he likes that. So how many of you like soup? We'll go that route with it. Yeah, okay. Like a good vegetable or soup, you know, something like that. You know, and I like to cook. And when you cook something like that, you have to mix several ingredients in it, don't you? Like for gumbo, you have to, of course, make a roux. And most people don't know how to do that. And you can put all the good ingredients, and gumbo can cost a good bit if you really make it right to make it. And it can take a lot of time to make. And that's why I talk about it, because it really takes a lot of time to make if you're doing it right. Happy Caldwell, how many of you know Brother Happy? Brother Happy called me the other day, and he said, I'm so upset with myself. He said, you know, you taught me how to make gumbo. And he said, I made it good several times. And he said, but I had some neighbors across the street. And he said, they were from New Orleans, and I was going to impress them with my gumbo. That's your first mistake. You were going to impress them. And he said, so I made it. And he said, it was horrible. He said, it was just hard. He said, I tried to rush the roux, and they came over here, and I was so embarrassed when I served it to them. And he said, you got to tell me how to do it again, you know. Well, you just write off. Of course, he rushed the roux. You can't rush the roux. You can't rush the roux. But anyway, back to the story. So you can make the roux. You can spend all the time making the roux. And you can spend all the time putting all the ingredients in it and get it just right. Just right. That are the soup. And just when you're ready to serve it, you can go outside and get you a big old soup ladle full of dirt and dump it in the pot. Or, as Brother Hagin used to say, get you just a teaspoon, just the tiniest little, not even a whole teaspoon. What's the smallest measure that they make? Pinch, just a pinch of rat poison. Just a pinch of rat poison and put it in there. Now, how many of you want a good bowl of soup? Looks delicious. Or a big old bowl of gumbo with just a tiny, tiny, tiny pinch of rat poison in it? No? No? Brother Hagin used to say it this way. He said he's eaten a lot of good cornbread in his day, but he would not go out to the hog pit and pull out a piece of cornbread. When Keith and I started living for the Lord, we made some choices in our lives. And you heard me tell last week about Mom Hagin. How many of you remember that story? Only about a quarter of the crowd. Where was everybody else on Mother's Day? Okay, let's try it again. I told a story about Mom Hagin. I'm going to say jumped on me, but that wasn't the correct word. She loved me. Mom Hagin loving on me and correcting me the other day. How many of you heard that story? Yeah, so I won't tell it again. And she corrected me. What I did not tell, and I thought about it immediately afterward, was at that given time in our lives, Keith was not an employee. Keith was a volunteer. See how quiet it got? Now, had I have gotten upset with Mama Hagen that day, see, I tried to go away from this when I started getting my notes together. I tried to go a different direction with this. But I want to tell you how to get your own testimonies.
Hallelujah.
Really big, great big, huge testimonies. Amen. And how for your life to change. She corrected me. Now, I could have gotten really, really upset with her and pulled away instead of pulling in closer. And I would have never, ever, ever had the place with Mom and Dad Hagen that I had for 20-something years. There's not another person on this earth that was as close to them as I was. Everybody would tell you that. Not their kids. But that was a test for me. When Brother Hagen went to heaven, the kids came to me asking questions. Now, I don't usually tell these stories, but the Lord dealt with me about telling a few things today. I had a choice to make that day. When somebody corrected me or told me I was wrong or put me in my place, in front of a whole auditorium full of people that could hear her doing it, I was not an employee. I was not a volunteer. I was nothing to her except for barely a church member. They barely had church on Sunday nights. Brother Hagen would speak. This was during a meeting. Keith was a student. I know I'm taking some time with this, but I want you to get the picture here. She made a beeline from where Carrie is to the other side of the auditorium. Amy, stand up over there in that corner in front of that plant. Unwrap there. She made a beeline to me over here to this side of the auditorium as quickly as she could. She was probably about my age then. I didn't know where she was going. And she pointed me out from where Jordan is sitting and said, and everybody could see her because, you know, if I was walking across the front of the auditorium, what would your eyes do? Every person in the room would follow. Where is Mom Hagen going? And they followed, and she pointed and called me out here. What are you doing? Everybody was still in the auditorium. What are you doing? I said, I don't know. She's facing this way. I'm facing this way. So everybody could see my face. I didn't know what she was talking about. I said, I'm sorry. She said, what are you doing? She said, why aren't you in all the services every time the doors are open? And I stuttered. Because I thought I was supposed to be working, helping Keith, so that he could go to school, so that he could get everything he was supposed to get. And I was supposed to be doing that. But I wasn't supposed to be missing the services. You don't have to say amen. It's so anyway. It still makes it so anyway. Whether you agree with it or not, it was still so anyway. She said, "Do you not know? There's a lot of pretty young women in this school. And you've got a handsome husband. And they wouldn't hesitate for one second to try to take your husband." And I just went. And everybody around could see my face. "I suggest you get here." And my only response was, "Yes, ma'am, I'll be here." And she turned and she walked away. And that was the end of that conversation. The next time I saw her, she said, "Hey, come here." I said, "Oh, Lord. What did I do now?" She said, "Such and such is getting married. I want you to give them a shower at my house." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And it started. But what if I would have gotten offended? What if I wouldn't have been in church the next night? What if she wouldn't have looked across the crowd and seen me? What if I would have said, "What right have you got to say that to me? Who am I to you? Who are you to me?" But no. When we got saved and we went to school, we meant what we said when we said, "Jesus, Father, you are the Lord of our lives." We meant that. And when he told us, did you get what I just said? When he told us to go to Tulsa and for him to go to school, he meant for us to do this. He meant for us to do this. We were supposed to do this. Now, I wasn't in school, but we were going to school. And I was missing that. And I needed somebody to catch me before I went off the cliff.
That's right.
I needed somebody that the Lord put there that would love me enough to correct me. From that moment on, she became my spiritual mother. But I had to give her that place in my life. I had to say, "You have this place in my life." Throughout the years, there was lots of times where we were corrected about stuff, where the Lord would show us stuff. Through different people, through the years, through Brother Copeland or Miss Gloria or Brother Hagen. Brother Hagen corrected me so many times. I remember one time he wouldn't want it told because it was something else going on in his life. Had nothing to do with this. But I was there. And I was pressing his suits and everything, getting him ready for the service and stuff, and taking care of everything for him. And I'd go in there and I'd take care of Mom and I'd get her dressed for the service. And then I'd get his clothes and I'd hang it out for him and I would get everything ready for him. And this one particular time, He couldn't find his cufflinks, and he's yelling at me from the other room. I can't find my cufflinks. I can't find my cufflinks. What did you do with my cufflinks? Where did you put my cufflinks? You should have just left them where they were. You should have, and just yelling at me, you know, because he was frustrated about something else. Later on, I found out what it was. He had good reason to fuss about the cufflinks. Have you ever taken something out on somebody else? What if I would have gotten upset over these things? Why am I telling you these things today? Why am I talking to you about these things? Because in your life, in every person's life in here, watching on the internet, in Branson, you should have people in your life. If I were to say, okay, let's just do it. Close your eyes. Every person in here, in Branson, on the internet, close your eyes. I'm going to count to five, and you tell me who is your spiritual head within 5 seconds, who it is, who could correct you, and you would not get mad. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Would you? It's easy to say. Easy to say. That they could tell you anything and you would do what they said without question. That's few and far between. This has been so strong on my heart since Brother Jerry passed. You know, Brother Jerry had his own ministry. He was traveling how often? A lot. And Miss Gloria quit traveling. And what did Brother Jerry do? He turned, he readjusted, and he started going to help Brother Kenneth. Now, if you know anything at all about helping somebody, you know that they're human. Rob's laughing over there because he's helped long enough to know that I'm human. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brother Jerry helped Brother Kenneth long enough to know that he was human. But what got Brother Jerry to the point that he was in his ministry, in his life, and he could go before the Father God and the Father God tell him, well done. How many of you really want to stand before the Father and He look you in the face and say, well done. Yes. Well done. Brother Hagin used to say this, you want to know why I'm settled and established? He was like this. He didn't go up. He didn't go down. That occasion that I just told you about, that happened one time in the 40 years we was with him. One time. And if you knew what the occasion was, you might have been pulling somebody's hair out. And all he did was ask me where his cufflinks were. And by the way, they were in his shirt where he left them. And he apologized. And Mom said, there you go, accusing the sister instead of the brother. It became a joke between us. It was love. It was fun. Never got upset. I said, I'm sure I did something with him, Dad. And I found him right where he left him. How do you get your own testimony? Huge. How do you get maybe not a 7X airplane? How do you get the thing your heart desires the most? How do you get settled, established? Brother Hagin said, it was by the things that he suffered. Now, he didn't suffer, he said, with sickness and disease. He suffered by putting his flesh under and not getting the things that he wanted. About a year ago, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I think I will. About a year ago, I started writing out some notes, and maybe someday I'll do it. I don't know. I thought about writing a book, which is not something I do, in the service of the prophet. I've had the privilege of serving four very closely. You say four? Yes. Jesus, number one. Brother Hagin, number two. Brother Copeland, number three. Keith, number four. And I've been as close to them as a lot of people have ever been. Now, how do you get that privilege? These are some of the most, name me more, in your life that you know of, prophets of God. How do you get there? What does it take? What was the word I just said? The title? Service. Service. Rob knows, Dan knows, Dave knows, our staff knows. When ministers come to town, we take it seriously. When I served with Brother Hagin, I took it seriously. I never one time, not one time, with Mom Hagin or Brother Hagin, said, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You want to know how to get God's best. I'm trying to explain this to you. We have come so far from the Bible and the way God sees things to the way the world does things that we've gotten so far off course to honor and respect that we've lost the things the way that God has planned for them to be. I never demand anybody say yes, ma'am, to me. Never do I turn around and say, oh, you should have said yes, ma'am. It's not me that it's for. I never said yes, ma'am, for their sake. I said yes, ma'am, for my sake. Yes, sir, for my sake. Because I never wanted to forget to honor them and their place in my life and remember the privilege that I had being there with them. Because the minute that you forget that, what happens? What happens the minute that you forget that? You lose it. The minute that you forget the privilege of being able to read the Word, the minute that you forget the privilege of being able to hear a good sermon, the minute that you forget the privilege of being able to go to church, the minute that you forget the privilege of having a good song leader, the minute that you forget the privilege of having good ushers, the minute that you forget the privilege of having good people that come and clean, the minute that you forget the privilege of being able to watch something on the internet or having screens in the church, the minute that we are unthankful and we forget the privilege of something, we can lose it. I I don't want to forget the privilege of being able to serve Brother Kenneth. We've been doing it now for I don't know how many years, 22 years he's been coming to the church in Branson. And every time he comes, we treat it like he is, we treat him like he is royalty. Do we have to do that? A lot of you are not liking what I'm talking about today. But do you want better in your own life?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want the answers to why you haven't got the greatest heart's desire in your life? It's about the gumbo. You hadn't forgot that, have you?
No.
It's about the soup. Is soup soup with just a potato? Is gumbo gumbo with just a shrimp? You gotta have a mix of things in order for things to be something. You can't just go around and confess, I'm gonna have a baby, for it to work. You can't just confess that I'm gonna get a new car, for it to work. You can't just sow to get a new house. See, people don't like that. You got to have all the ingredients working together in order to have a good pot of soup.
Right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Now, I can make, he said it takes time, but it doesn't always take time to make a good pot of soup. It just matters if you got the ingredients working right. But again, the world has gotten so far away from so many things of the world that we've got to begin to renew our minds to think right about the way things are supposed to be. You say, well, you got to walk in love, but people don't even know what that means anymore. What does it mean to walk in love? It means that you don't always get your way. It means that you can't tell somebody off. See, people don't like that. They're looking at me like. It means that you've got to give in.
Amen.
Walking in love means that you let somebody else win.
Right. That's right.
And look at the crowd. I wish you could see everybody's faces. Can you get a camera up here?
Oh, boy.
They put some rat poison in the soup. If you want something from God, you got to do it God's way. That's the part that people are missing. They beg God for something. But then they walk out the door and they go be mean to people. Mm-hmm. Or God says, I want you to do this. And they go all the way around the world to avoid doing what God said. Because they don't want to come in contact with that person. Mm-hmm. That would have been like, when Mom Hagen told me to go to church, I would have quit going to church.
Right. Yeah.
I would have changed churches. And I would have expected, and I would have confessed for the next 40 years for my finances to be blessed, for my marriage to be blessed, for my home to be blessed. But I held a grudge against Mom Hagen for the next 40 years. If that's you, go back and apologize. She may be dead, but you better get it right. It doesn't work that way, guys. You put rat poison in your soup. And people are getting discouraged and they're getting depressed. The body of Christ as a whole has got 80% of its people depressed because they're saying the word doesn't work. It doesn't work. Why would I go to church if the Bible doesn't work? But the Bible works.
Amen. Yes.
It works.
Yes.
You just can't do it your way.
Thank you.
The Bible doesn't say if somebody slaps you, you slap them back.
No,
what does it say? And let them slap you on the other one.
Yep.
And if they take your coat, what does it say?
Give them another one.
But that's not what the world teaches. It says tit for tat. But what happens is, if you do tit for tat, you've got off on the devil's turf now. And you've left God. And you're doing it your way. And you've got rat poison in your soup. You're never going to get the blessings of the Lord. And you can quote scriptures, you can fast, you can pray, you can do whatever you want to do, but until, say that with me,
until
you make the corrections,
make
your body's going to be sick, your kids are going to be sick, your finances are going to be a mess, your marriage is going to be in turmoil. You can't go around what God's told you to do.
That's right.
And here's the horrible part about it. Oftentimes, God will use a person that you don't even like to tell you God's word, like me. This is what it says. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to what I say. Let it not depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and then their health to all their flesh. Now, these words don't always come through vessels that you like. I just have to be honest with you. Sometimes Keith tells me something and I don't want to hear it. Because he's my husband. And how many of you, your wives, always like to hear it from your husband? How many of you wives tell your husband something and they don't like to hear it? But it's still the truth anyway. It's still the truth. Whether it steps on our toes or not. If somebody really, really, really loves you, they're going to correct you. And if you never get any correction, nobody loves you. Because God is the best father in the whole wide world.
Amen.
And he said, what? He corrects those he what?
Loves.
He loves.
Amen.
So I was smart enough to realize that day when Mom Hagen corrected me in front of everybody and embarrassed me, and I was, now it wouldn't bother me at all. But then, I was very immature. I was a little Catholic girl that didn't know anything about the word and didn't know anything about listening to anybody. I had a lot of growing to do. I was very embarrassed and I was mad when I left. But I got a hold of myself and I repented and I took it and I came to church. And it took me about, how long does Brother Hagen say it took him about? Y'all snap for me. Come on.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That long
right.
To get my heart right. Didn't take me a month, didn't take me a week, didn't take me 6 months. Took me about that long to correct it inside of me. And I didn't miss stuff. And Mom became one of my closest buds. And she loved me and she corrected me all the time. But I needed correcting.
Oh, yes, we do.
But I knew she loved me. But it got me to where I am today.
Thank you, Jesus.
It got Keith and I to where we are today. And if you're not in a place that you're around people, that you have a place in somebody's life that they can correct you because they love you, you need to get someplace. Let somebody get their belt out after you. Because they love you.
That's right.
And if you don't believe in it, I got some news for you. You need to read this black book that's on this table here. Because if God truly loves you and you want His very best, you're going to listen to His words. And all throughout the Bible, He was correcting them and showing them a better way to go. And if we want the very best that He has for us, He's going to be just about the time I would think, I got it. I finally got it. You ever been there? You're going along and you're getting better at this and you're getting better at this and I quit doing this and I quit doing this. Then He says, now you can handle this. And I'm like, okay, God, come on. You ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
But every time He does that, He's got something better for you. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever, ever that I recall have I believed for a house or a car or anything. I'll remind you real quickly about the houses. When we moved to Branson, well, Tulsa, before we moved to Branson, we were serving the Lord. We were going through everything that we were doing. Keith was in school. I was working. And we drove past this place. And it looked empty. I said, Keith, stop, stop, stop. He says, Phil, you sure you want to go up there? I said, what do you think? He knows me. I jumped out. I went and looked through the windows. And I said, it's empty. There was no for sale sign. We went up. I said, we need to find out about it. Sky, where's Sky? Sky, his mom, was a realtor. I've known Sky since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. No, I've known Sky. We've known each other forever. And I better get a drink of water here. I've known Sky for a long time. Anyway, so I called his mom. And I said, Miss Nancy, I said, I want to see this house. She said, I don't know anything about it. Let me do some checking. She found out it was a foreclosure. But it wasn't for sale. I said, let's make them an offer. She said, for real? It's not even on the, they're not doing it? I said, make them an offer. We made them an offer. And here's the bad part. They accepted it. Because we made them a crazy offer. We didn't have the money, but they accepted it. Where are we going to get the money? We didn't have it. But God had it. We went and we did one meeting on a Wednesday night. It was enough to cover what we needed. We got in the house. God did it. God did it. The next house, when we moved here, we lived in a little house on the golf course. Someday I'll show y'all pictures of it. I'll do a Faith Adventures again real soon. We were looking around because we were doing the church. I looked at one house. Because the Lord said, you'll have to get out of this house. It's a rental house. We only had the lease for so long. I went and looked at one house. I went in it for 5 minutes, and I had my dad with me. And he said, you have to get your dad to the doctor. So I went in. I said, this is not for me. And I turned around, and I walked out the door. And the Lord says, you better go back. So I went back in, and I did a complete look at the house real quickly. And then I forgot about it. The guy that owned the house called me. He said, did you like my house? I said, what's not to like? It was a huge house. It was very nice, you know. And it was the closest thing to the church. It was before Branson had gotten built up, before it had any houses in it. It was the only subdivision with a gate. And it was how far? A mile from the church? Yeah, maybe a mile, mile and a half from the church, something like that. And he said, you like my house? I said, yeah, what's not to like? He said, would you give me this for it? I said, oh, no, I wouldn't even give you half of that for it. He said, okay, and he hung up the phone. Well, a month later, he called me back. He said, you still like my house? I said, yeah, what's not to like? He said, well, would you give me this for it? I said, no, I said, I wouldn't give you half of that for it. He said, okay, and he hung up the phone. A couple of months later, he called me back. He said, would you give me this for it? I said, no, I said, I wouldn't give you half of that for it. So we hung up the phone. A few months later, he called me back, and he was down to half price. He said, you said you'd give me half. I said, no, I said, I wouldn't give you half for it. He said, okay, and he hung up the phone. He called me back, and he was below half price. He said, well, would you give me this for it? And I said, yeah, I'll give you that for it. And he sold me his house. And it was way, 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 of course, you can hear, way below the price. And we bought it from him. And, of course, we could sell it now for triple the price. So the Lord did it for us. He chased me down. And I was busy building the church there. Well, when we decided to get the house here, we were here. Dan, Rob, I, Dave were here redoing this building. And we'll show you some pictures of that. I've got some pictures of it I found the other day of what it was before. Would you like to see those?
Yes.
Yes. And we were busy doing this building. And we weren't thinking about houses or anything. And one day I just got tired of being in here. Well, the first time I got out, I went to the puppy store and because I was just tired of being in here. And I wound up with two little dogs. And they're cute, but I wound up with them. And then the next day I went out and there's a house not far from here. And I was driving around and I went in this house and this lady and guy and it was kind of the same deal. I said, no, I wouldn't do half, you know, of what you guys are talking about for the house. You know, I said, even if it's real close to here, I you know, we're focused on a church and we're not focused on a house. And so a year went by and we got an email to the church in Branson. And they said, you looked at our house about a year ago. We'd like for you to come and look at it again. During that year span of time, she got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said, would you come look at it again? And I said, sure. And so I went and looked at it again. And it's about a mile from here.
Yeah, about the same as Branson.
About the same as Branson. And because the Lord knows, I don't like to spend a lot of time doing stuff that I don't need to do. So traveling is a waste of my time. So it's about a mile from here. And so I went and looked at it, and she says, my husband is in finance, and we financed it through them, and it'd be an embarrassment if we lost it, and we'd like to, for you to have it at this price just so that we can pay off what we owe on it and get out from underneath it, and it was pennies on the dollar.
Thank you, Jesus.
And not only did she sell it to us for that price, it's a long story, but I'll give you the gist of it. She and her Bible study group went in, cleaned it spotless, put new mattresses on the bed, put new sheets on the bed, put groceries in the cabinets, put pots and pans on the counters, put sheets and everything, and had it spotless, left every speck of furniture in the house, and called me and said, you can move in whenever you're ready, before we close, after we close, whatever you want to do. And it was a good thing because I wasn't leaving the house in Branson because I still needed it. And so we moved in one day, and there we are.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I only tell you those stories. They're not because of me.
Right.
It's because you can have your own faith testimony. You can have your own. But it doesn't come from wishing. And it doesn't come from hoping. And it doesn't come from getting in over your head. Or trying to prove to somebody else that you've got something more than you've got because you're a faith person. It comes from doing what God said do.
Amen.
Yes.
The Word says that we are doers of the Word of God. You see the little kids celebration Sunday. What were they saying? I'm a doer, I'm a doer, I'm a doer of the Word of God. Why do we have them saying that? Because it's only the doers that receive from God. It's not the Bible toters. It's not the ones that can quote 100,000 scriptures. It's not the ones that come to church every Sunday and hear sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. It's the ones that do. Come back to Mom Hagen. I know people don't like this. But when she said, you have to be in every service, from that moment on, I became a doer. I was in every service. I wasn't in faith school. I mean, I wasn't in healing school and I wasn't in prayer school, but I was in every service that was in the evening services or services that Brother Hagen was having. I was in those. I became a doer of the word. Everything that the Lord told me, I was doing. I became a doer of everything He told me to do. Say, a doer of the word. You know, the man that built his house upon the sand. We sang about it this morning. How many of you can quote that story? Kind of, you know the story about the man that built his house on the rock and the man that built his house on the sand? What happened to the man that built his house on the sand? He got washed away. Could he believe for anything? No, because his house got washed away. Do you know what the front of that story is? Let's look at it. Just for a second. Just for a second. We sang about it this morning. They'll put it up on the screen. You don't have to get your Bible out. You know me. They'll put it up on the screen. Just listen to me. Matthew 7:24. Wise and foolish builders. Verse 7:24 NIV. Everyone, read that with me. Everyone who hears these words of mine. Okay, now put the King James up. Here's where Keith gets the other. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and what?
Doeth them.
Doeth them. It's like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And it goes on to say, and the rains came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat the house, and it did not fall, because his foundation was built on a rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the rock, and the rains came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Don't raise your hand. I call them faith failures, and Keith corrects me every time, because he says, Phil, your faith cannot fail. There is no such thing as a true faith failure. It's impossible for your faith to fail. But people have decided that they have been believing for things. And some people have been believing for things for decades. Decades. Whether it be their healing, whether it be their marriage, whether it be their kids, whether it be their job, whether it be their ministry, whatever it is. And they've had failure after failure. They've not received it. And they've had failure in every area. Every area. They've not had any victories. Somebody please tell me why now. What didn't they do? What word? What word? What word? What word? My word was not a word directly from this book. Do you get my drift? My word was a person telling me something. Keith's word was, help Brother Hagen. Do you remember him saying that? How many of you remember Brother Keith saying, help Brother Hagen? What if helping Brother Hagen, we were so blessed. Brother Hagen was a dream come true. But you know what? Some of the people around Brother Hagen wasn't so dreamful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of the people that we were around, sometimes you just wanted to leave. You remember Keith saying, sometimes I'd put in for a request to leave, and what would he say?
Denied.
Denied. So what did Keith do? He was a
doer
of the word that the Lord gave him. The Lord gave him the word, help Brother Hagen. Now what if he would have left where the Lord told him to be, and then we would have tried to believe God for houses? Do you think these houses would have just fallen in our laps? That wasn't everybody. Do you think these houses would have just fallen in our laps?
No.
Our flesh likes a lot of stuff, especially getting our way. Do you know I've been married to Mr. Submission and Authority now for almost 50 years? And I know he's not watching because he's teaching himself right now. And if I can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
And here's the thing about marriage. Everybody goes through tough spots. I've told about ours. But you got to stick it out. And you got to be doers. Did God tell me to go into the ministry with Keith? Did he tell me to quit the first time it got tough?
No.
Three people said no. He told me to be a doer.
Right. Yes.
He told me to do the word of God. He told us to go to Rhema. He told us to help Brother Hagen. He told us to go to Branson. He never told me to leave my husband. It's hard to get in faith for something when you've done something the Lord didn't tell you to do. Now, there's repentance. And don't get me wrong. There's people that's already done it, and it's done. And God forgives. But as much as we can, we have to put this flesh under. Paul said, I keep my body under. Lest when I preach to other people, I myself should become a what?
Castaway.
Now every time I go to an event, like Celebration Sunday last week, everybody comes up to me and they think it's real funny. I don't think it's so funny. They say, boy, you're hard when you preach. I have to pull my feet back up under me because you step on my toes. But you know what? Everybody that's ever been around me has helped me. because they kept me from getting in a ditch and messing up.
That's right.
Because they love me. And I would much rather have somebody look me in the eye and say, I don't do tit for tat. Straighten up, Phyllis. Instead of letting me quit. Instead of letting me get off. Instead of letting me mess up. I've got a wonderful husband. I've got two wonderful churches. With look at these beautiful faces in here. Some of them's a little sour right now, but other than that... I'm just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. Beautiful faces in here that love the Lord and want to do what He wants. They want to do what He wants. And it's so easy. I know the devil. I know how he is. And you'll be going along, and all of a sudden he sets a trap for you and you stumble in it. And it's really hard to get out of there. It's like one of those things you see on TV, and it's really hard to pull your way out of it once you get in it. But the Lord will help you to get out. He'll show you again what you need to do. He'll show you the way out. He said there's no place that you can't go that He won't make a way of escape.
That's right. Amen.
That is right.
And that's who He is.
Yes.
No matter how far we've gotten off course, He will pull us back in and He'll show us a way that we can get right back on and we can be doers where we are today. And He'll get us right back on course and get us right back where we need to be so that He can give us all the blessings He has for us. And if you put a little rat poisoning in your soup, you remember in the Bible they had some bad stuff in their soup too? He told them what to put in it.
Amen.
To make it okay.
Yep. Yes.
And if that's the way yours has been, your life has been, your soup has been, your marriage has been, your kids have been, He'll show you what to put in it. To make it okay.
Amen.
He'll show you how to get back on course. He is that good.
Amen.
No matter how bad we mess it up, He'll show us how to fix it. Because
that's
who He is. That's what He does. He's the master of fixes.
Yes,
he is. He'll just get right in there and He'll say, just take a little bay leaf, stick it in there, and it'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? He'll show you what to do in your marriage, in your kids, in your job. He'll show you how to say, you know, I was ugly with them, but I can go back and I can say, you know what? We were ugly about that. But you know what? We really didn't mean it. We could have said it. You remember that letter? You remember Keith? And that person that told him he was wrong. How many of you remember that story?
Yeah.
You know, she wrote him an ugly letter. This is how God fixes stuff. Let me just show you. She wrote him an ugly letter. And she said, you should not have said that on the platform. That was Brother Hagin's meeting. Well, what she didn't know is Brother Hagin asked him to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keith didn't say Brother Hagin asked me to say this. He just did what Brother Hagin asked him to do.
Right.
So, but she wrote him an ugly letter. And she said, you should not have said that. It was not your place. Well, it was his place. Brother Hagin told him to do it.
Yes.
So he kind of got upset about it. And he said, I'm not writing her back. I'm just going to go to Brother Hagin and I'm going to tell him what she said. And the Lord checked him. He said, if you do that, then it's going to cause a rift between her and them. Right. And we're going to have a big rift over this thing. And the Lord said, don't you think you could have said it in a little more love? Don't you think you could have said it in a little more kindness? Don't you think you could have said it a different way? Don't you think you could have said it a little sweeter? Different tone of voice? He said, well, sure I could have. He said, well, would you do it for me? To keep peace. To keep your place.
Mm.
So that you can minister to them later.
Right.
That I can use you to minister to them later. He said, well, that was the end of it for me. When the Lord asked you to do something, would you do it for Him?
Yeah.
I got to writing, he said. He wrote her a letter. I kid you not, I was there. I was involved. She asked us to come to their church.
Right. Wow.
We went to their church. We got the biggest offering to date that we had ever had. We needed it. The biggest offering to date. It was a huge church. If I called it, you'd know it. It was a huge church. The Lord said, thank you. Handed us a huge offering.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Will he do that for you?
Yes. Yes.
If you're not too proud to apologize and
That's
fix
right.
what's going on in your life.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Will he do it?
Yes.
Will he fix our mistakes?
Yes.
I've made so many mistakes. Oh, my word. I've made so many. But you know what? I've learned. I'm not too proud to apologize. I'll come back and I'll say, you know what, Edward? I'm sorry. I should have said that differently. If I'd say something sharp to Rob, I'll come back. I'll call Rob. You know what? That was a little too short. I'm sorry. I should have said that nicer to you. Nobody's beyond apologies. The moment that you become beyond apologies, you got out beyond God. Okay? So let's all stand up. And let's all thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we can all be greater doers of your word. Father, I just ask you. Say it with me. Father, I ask you. To show me. Anywhere that I have not been a doer of what you've asked me to do, that I've got offended or I've got off, where any person that's representing you has asked me to do something, I will do it, and my house will be built on a rock. I'll get rid of all the rat poison, all the dirt in my soup. And I'll do exactly what you've asked me to do. And I'll have the greatest of testimonies and bring you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe it, thank Him for it.